Good morning, everybody. This is Matt Davis filling in for Amy Otto, who's out on assignment. Good morning, or it could be afternoon, right? You
could be anywhere,
right? Because you could be on your treadmill right now or in your car. So whatever time of day it is, welcome to the show. My name is Matt Davis. I'm the president of the Little Five Points Business Association, and I'm here today to present a roundtable of Little Five Points.
The president, that's pretty impressive.
Yes, really impressive. It was me against, let me see, nobody else, and I won.
And so how is Little Five Points defined in your mind?
In my mind?
Yes.
Well, the folks here today are probably going to do a better job of saying that than me, but I would say the most independent, unique shopping area in Atlanta.
Yes. Do you think it's the soul of Atlanta?
Wow, that's a pretty deep question. I don't know. I think it certainly is. It certainly is a meaty part of Atlanta that I think a lot of people know about, but a lot of people don't know about.
Right.
So
why don't we get the guests?
Yeah,
in
let's get into it. Let them tell all the good stuff. So I'm just gonna have you guys just start out. Just tell us your full name and your current position or store that you own, and we'll start with the man on my right, Don Bender.
Yes, I'm Don Bender. And I'm retired 2 years ago. I was, my company was Neighborhood Commercial Redevelopment, and we developed and managed real estate in Little Five Points and a few other places.
And I'm Pam Majors. I own The Junkman's Daughter.
What's that?
It is a alternative superstore.
Alternative?
Alternative
and
superstore.
And a superstore. That sounds like a little, you know.
It's 10,000 square foot, very edgy department store.
There you go.
And my name is Tim Scott. I'm co-owner of Libertine Boutique, which is about 450 square feet. So we're at the opposite end of the spectrum. So.
Your alternative too?
Yeah. I mean, alternative to, I guess.
Party City.
Party City, exactly. Exactly. We try to be.
Now, Don, do you have to be alternative to be in Little Five?
You don't have to be, but it helps a lot.
Was it always that way? You've been around a while.
Since 77, and yes, it really, it not always, not back in the 50s and early 60s, but from the mid-70s on, yes, very much.
Well, that was actually going to be my next question, which for everybody, and we can just go in any order, and that is, what is it that had you come to do business in Little Five Points? What is it that brought you to Little Five?
Well, I moved there in 76. I bought my house there in 76. And the neighborhood was, as all neighborhoods, I think, what drew people there at that time, it had gotten a little run down. The older original homeowners were dying out a bit, and it was students and artists looking for cheap housing. And that's how it began, and I think that's how the businesses began, too.
Were you an entrepreneur at that point, or did you have a job?
I did different jobs, and I traveled a lot. Mm-hmm. I worked to support my traveling.
So that was a lifestyle kind of thing?
Yes. And then when my parents retired, I am a junkman's daughter. I had to close their...
So that's actual.
That's actual.
That's not a metaphor for something.
No. When I shut their business down, I opened in 82 with dead stock out of their business and went into what had been the Mirababas Center next to what had been the methadone clinic in the neighborhood. So the neighborhood was, in 82, was just kind of turning. There were the beginnings.
So you had a market for your stuff right from the methadone clinic? Is that what you're saying?
No, the methadone clinic was gone, and I think that was right before... the cable TV people moved in that space.
Oh, that's
Don
right.
Can address that, the growth
Don's
a little
the historian,
bit better.
Right?
Yeah,
you're the historian,
think.
Don?
I guess so, except I don't have a grasp of precise dates.
But. Right.
But what brought you to Little Five Points?
Well, I lived in the neighborhood. I had moved to Candler Park, where Pam also lives, in 72, I guess it was. And what attracted me there was the same thing that Pam mentioned, but also that there was the people there were very progressive, and we were politically and socially and spiritually, and we were fighting an expressway, and so there was a lot of political activism.
So there was a common enemy in the expressway, and you
think
that helped bring the neighborhood together?
Definitely, yeah. Mm-hmm. And from that, in fighting that, then people got very involved in other kinds of political stuff, like electing better city council and mayor.
Right.
And so then that was just a half mile from Little Five Points. So the attraction of Little Five Points was that that was our business district. And so when an opportunity came to buy some buildings, a group of us went together. Geez, I think there were a group of 30 or something like that.
Oh, so there was a lot of people that wanted to, that kind of had a vision what this could be?
Yes, that's true. People that were not in business before envisioned what the business district could
right.
be.
And when you say the business district, what streets are we talking about here?
Well, Moreland and Euclid are the is the main intersection there. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, it branches off of that. Mansfield is another
right.
Cross street of Moreland. Moreland is the axis.
Right. And so, Tim, what about you? What brought you to do to open a store in Little Five?
Well, let's see.
You're the rookie here, right?
Yeah. But basically, well, I've actually worked in Little Five Points for 18 years.
Did you ever work for Pam?
No, I didn't, actually.
Did you interview with Pam?
No, actually, I didn't.
Did you know her?
To tell the truth, before I lived in Atlanta, back when I was a kid, I used to come from North Carolina, and it was a destination area. And I used to shop at Gentleman's Daughter, and that was back when there was like three stores in the neighborhood, you know, we would save up our money, and this was the cool place to go, you know,
because
we lived in North Carolina, and there was, you know, this was a few years back, I guess like mid-80s, you just opened, are pretty new anyways, and so then after I moved here, you know, it just kind of fell into my lap that, you know, I went to work for a store, and then have been in the neighborhood for 18 years. And after the person that I worked for retired, I basically said, well, I can't really work for anybody else at this point. So I made a go for it and opened my store like 3.5 years ago and did that for about a year and a half, which even being a small store is pretty tough, you know, just being one person. And my partner, a good friend of mine, came on board as co-owner like a year and a half into the store, and kind of freed us up to, you know, have a sounding board. You can't just do it by yourself, so Jen came on and we've been going strong. So
my next question would be, why have you stayed?
Why have I stayed? Because I'm complacent. No, just kidding. I feel like I've invested enough of myself, and I've actually, you know, originally it was something that you went to and you didn't feel like, you know, I guess it's something you get to know and it becomes the norm for you. And it's, you know, I feel comfortable, you know, it's a place that I can, you know, it's definitely a place you can go to local businesses, you know, everybody, and you go to local bars and they know what you want to drink. It really helps, you know, so
right.
It's just it's comfortable, and it's definitely something that I've seen grow and build and, you know, and become more diverse over the years. And it's, you know, it's just something I know, you know. It's, you know, I feel out of sorts if I go anywhere else.
So you weren't thinking when you were going to open this up, you go, maybe I'll go to Alpharetta.
For one thing, after you've worked somewhere that long, you know how it works. You know the people. You know, this will be my 18th Halloween in Little Five Points. So, right. You know, I know the drill.
Right. And so I wanted to ask the Donna Pam, how do you think Little Five has stayed? How has your store specifically stayed independent, and how do you think Little Five Points has just stayed independent and never succumbed to what almost every shopping district in the world succumbs to?
there was a lot of intention to keep it that way. I think that folks who were in a position to keep it that way were committed to independence. That was our motto, you know, a place for independent businesses. And so when chain stores wanted to come in, there was an effort really to keep them out.
So how do you do that for other communities that are kind of wrestling with this? Because it's kind of a double-edged sword. You know, on one side, you need their tax revenues to pay for things. But on the other side, you know, it becomes, you know, you just become another cookie-cutter community that's out there. So how did, was there a debate there, or you guys were all, like you said, progressive, and you were all pretty, had a vision of how you wanted this to be, so it was obvious not to invite, you know, the Walmarts of the world in there?
Well, we, I think that we were, that most people were on board with not inviting them, but of course, stores like that will come uninvited, and, you know, on no issue are we unanimous. We're a place that vigorously debates everything, right, and that's good. So we are diverse, and that's one of the results of being diverse is you have different opinions about specific issues. But there were people who were disinvited. One case they took it seriously, another they didn't. In a third instance, there was in fact, this is where Pam has her store now. It was going to be a CVS store. And it happened that our company was in a position at least that we could contest the sale. And so we did. We had options that had been written into an earlier contract where we were to have a right of first refusal. So three different ways. There were also protests, but the clincher was that we had a at least a contestable right to stop it.
And then how did that right come about? Was that before your time, or you put that in early on?
That was early on. We had my partner and I, Kelly Jordan, had developed two buildings, sold the one to the what was then a grocery store, kept the other one, and in the agreement of the sale, there was a clause that we would have the right of first refusal for a sale or rental, and so we stepped up and insisted on that right.
And so, Pam, I wanted to ask you the same question. How is it that you've, or how do you think Little Five has stayed so independent? I mean, long after all the stuff that happened, you know, with Don and his folks a while back, even, you know, now.
Well, a lot of the original store owners are still there. I mean, the people who went in really early, like Wax and Fax and Abadabas and Karis Books, I mean, they were there in the 77 Onda. Everybody's just grown and prospered in the neighborhood. And we started in a 1,000-square-foot space, you know, and just kept moving to a larger location. But everybody's pretty invested in the neighborhood, and I don't think I would really be comfortable anywhere else.
Right. Like, you know, even if you go to Haight-Ashbury, I mean, they have a Gap. You know what I mean? And I'm pretty sure Venice Beach has a lot of chains that it probably didn't have before. But somehow, some way, we have stayed the course. And to me, that's pretty amazing. I mean, when I first heard that, you know, that CVS story, I was really impressed that people were willing to take out of their own pocket just so that, you know, the part you didn't mention was that, you know, our pharmacist, Dr. Katz, has been there for 30 years so that he wouldn't go out of business. And it's the kind of place that you go in there once and you know that this is someone who actually cares about you and your family, actually cares about getting you, you know, the right medication or whatever it is that you need. It's like, you know, the good old days, quote unquote. What do you think the, you know, you said you first were in a really small space and that you've grown. So for all those stores that are still there 30 years later, what do you think the keys to that success is? Like, how have they stayed open through good times and bad times so the neighborhood has still thrived?
Well, we're all really involved in our businesses. We know, just from a technical standpoint, with corporation, they're very removed from who their customer is. my managers who work the floor are also my buyers. They most of them have been with me over 20 years. We operate more as a family. We're really flexible as far as keeping employees. Like, I've lost a few to fame and fortune. You know, half the people that work for me are artists or in bands, and we just make it work. And I think the neighborhood itself just kind of has that feel. It's, we learn by doing, and we've stayed true to who we are, and the businesses are small enough where we can make it whatever we want to be. We don't have to go into some cookie cutter kind of idea of what a business should be.
Right. There's got to be folks listening to this that think, wow, she's kept employees for 30 years. How do you do that?
I don't know. I treat them like family. I care about them. I loan them money. I bail them out of jail. I, you know, kind of go above and beyond, I guess.
It's that bailing out of jail. Most HR doesn't have that covered in there. Right.
But, yeah, I mean, I've had some leave and work for, you know, go fairly high up in corporations and come back. They just don't want that. They want that personal connection.
Right.
Is it how you imagined when you started the business?
I didn't imagine anything. If I had even thought about it, I probably wouldn't have done it. Junkman's daughter and Junkman's daughter's brother were named two of the 25 best independent stores in America last year. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that the person said that the 25 businesses had in common was none of us knew what we were doing when we started.
So a level of cluelessness.
Yeah,
helps.
And you just kind of make it work and figure out what works right. for you and what works for your life.
Do you mind sharing, like, maybe something that didn't work early on that you thought, well, this is going to be good. I'm going to do this. And then it exploded.
It's just kind of, I've tried to always listen to what people wanted.
Mm-hmm. So you were very customer centric, like you were whatever the customer, because you had a vision too, like, right? You wanted it to be a certain thing.
I really didn't have that idea. I started with dead stock out of my parents'
right.
store, and I like to go junking. I like to buy things.
Right.
But we were really small. If I didn't feel like working that day, the store didn't open.
So you didn't open.
Yeah.
So some Tuesdays you were out at
yeah.
the pool, you know.
If there was a pool
was a
to
pool.
Be had, yeah. But, I think it's just being open and figuring out what works for your life that makes us different instead of going, okay, this is what a business needs
right.
to look like.
So you didn't hire business consultants. There
Absolutely
was no
not.
Business consulting happening with you.
There was no consulting except with my parents who, because they retired at the same time, my mother was showing up every day for
right.
a year.
To give you advice.
To give me advice.
Now, you jokingly said you've lost some folks to fame and fortune. Is there anyone that we would know?
The guys in Mastodon, three of them worked for me,
okay.
and they were up for a Grammy a couple years ago, Best New Artist.
Right.
They're all in bands. They're, you know, some are in two or three bands, and others are in school. Others moved to New York to pursue fame and fortune.
Right.
And
when you're dealing with that kind of artistic person, and I guess, Tim, you can probably help with this as well, when you have those kind of employees, like, how's the reliability? You know, you just have to be okay with that kind of stuff, that you're like, okay, you know, they're not in the best shape today as I'd like them to be? Or do you just have to just say, you know, it is what it is, and I just work around them?
I'm definitely a much looser boss, and that's probably why they've all lasted 20 years. But I do draw the line in certain places.
Right.
Yeah. But
what's the line? Like giving their friends free stuff? Is that a line?
No. That Yeah, they can't. Absolutely can't do that. They can't even give them their discounts. But
Tim, you have any thoughts
well,
on this?
You know, since I don't have any employees,
oh, you're
basically, it's basically, but you know, like I said, I did work for someone else in the neighborhood and, you know, in a larger store and managed, and, you know, I could attest that, you know, luckily I work for someone like Pam who, you know, when I was a hellion, so to speak, and, you know, was not a model employee, you know, luckily, you know, I came around, but, you know, it's like, it's good to have a place like that to work, you know?
Right.
So, and it's realistic, you know, I'm younger people. I mean, you know, it's people are learning and they're trying to develop themselves and, you know, if, and there's a lot of talent there. You just, you know, you have to, it's like children, you know, you've got to take the good with the bad, right? You know? So, right. And you know, working for somebody like that, you know, it made me realize all that goes into actually, you know, running a business, you know, and then, you know, I matured and, you know, I'm like, I'm ready to do it myself. So, I'm not ready for children or employees yet, you know,
but you have a partner, right?
So you, yeah. Like, so that's good. It's taken a lot of the, you know, it's taken, you know, there's a nice symbiotic relationship as far as being able to get certain things done. Somebody has strengths, some have weaknesses and, you know, in certain areas. And, it's just it's good, you know, it's better to have a support, you know. Right. So,
and then I know that everyone offers unique different things, but do you guys share like vendors, not just with each other, but like others? Do you guys call each other and say, definitely call this guy, he'll give you a great deal, or this vendor is a crazy person? Pam is shaking her head.
Well, you know, Pam is more established, so I am very conscious of being a small store.
Right.
Like, if I do see a line, that's the first thing I'll ask. If it's something I'm interested, does Gentleman's have it? So, you know.
Because if they do, you don't want to carry it.
Well, I mean, it would be, you know, it doesn't make any sense, you know. So, basically, I try to, you know, go that route. And we've also developed, being a small store, since there is only so much stuff out there, we do a lot of locally made stuff. And we've developed about four or five local artists, like jewelry designers, people who do unique crafts. So, and we do a lot of consignment, which has kind of given us a unique edge, being that we're so small.
Right.
That we are a little bit, you know, for a small store, we don't have really departments, so it can be a little, I try to make it look nice, but, you know, we carry cosmetics as well, like, you know, which we do well with at Halloween, right. Face paints, a little more theatrical stuff, and kind of lean towards, you know, stuff that, you know, is not found just anywhere,
right.
You know, and have knowledge of how to use it and be able to impart that to people, so,
right. And Pam, since you're the flagship, if you will, of Little Five, because you've been there so long and because your store, you know, takes up half a block and, right, the big pretty, what do you call it, mural there on the front, like everybody knows where that is. The stores that you've seen sort of come and go, do you sort of have an opinion that, like, well, they'll either make it or they won't, or are you out to, like, crush the competition?
Oh, Jesus. No.
Well, you're shaking your head no so vigorously when I asked about the vendors thing, so I was just...
Well, you don't want to, you know...
Do you just feel like...
You don't work for 28 years to set up competition for yourself. I mean, that's probably in some book somewhere is not a wise thing to do.
Are you gonna, you're going to do your own business book, aren't you?
No.
Yes, you got to share this. You have such an interesting look in developing a business. I mean, there's a ton of wisdom there.
It is, but it worked for me. I don't know if it would really work for anyone else.
Why wouldn't it? I mean, you said that list of the 25, what was it, the best businesses or some
independent
retail, retail superstores.
They all had a lot of common threads. I mean, you guys must be doing something right.
Yeah, but they were all very diverse. I mean, one is like a 10,000 square foot knife store somewhere in Tennessee and all. But
maybe that's the lesson in this, you know, is you got to be diverse and you got to be niche and you got to be kind of a little wacky and have personality.
Well, I do think that's true. Otherwise, it's just...
Or you're a commodity. You're just like somebody else.
I think what he's suggesting is write the business book for people that don't read business books.
Exactly.
That's what what he's trying to say. But I know that that's not kind of your...
Yeah.
Your
not,
deal.
Not my thing.
I think someone should just follow you around. Just take notes. If you're into having people follow you around.
No. Not really.
But I did want to ask, as these, you know, as these stores do sort of come and go, do you typically just sort of, like I said, you just sort of just let the market do itself and you just watch these stores come and go? Or do you, are there certain stores that you say, well, this seems like someone that I would just want to welcome to the neighborhood? Or how do you view all the, because like I said, you guys are kind of the flagship.
I don't really have a lot of time to pay a lot of attention to what the other stores are doing. I'll try to walk the neighborhood maybe 3 times a year and see what other people are carrying to see if maybe it's something I don't want to carry anymore, or, you know, if someone's carrying our lines or whatever. But I just kind of concentrate on what it is I'm trying to do. And, you know, more power to everybody else. I mean, they certainly have their dreams and their ideas. And I do think diversity is the way to go. I think everybody needs to have their own niche to be successful. And I think that's probably why some of the mall stores are having a bit of trouble now. But I think it's good for small businesses, owner run. They can really direct what they want to do and get their ideas out there and be different.
Got it. Well, let me ask, and I want to open this up to everybody again, including Don. What are some of the challenges that come with being so independent and so different, and how do you sort of face those and deal with those and sort of keep pushing forward?
Well, I think one challenge would be that we don't become closed to, you know, that we remain open to different possibilities and that we do change. I mean, if we have latched on to what we feel is a good thing and just refuse to make any adjustments, then obviously we'll become obsolete. So I think that's one challenge, to have the ability to open ourselves to new ideas. And that's probably one of the challenges. Of course, the other challenges are ones that every commercial district faces. And in a downturn, that clearly is a, you know, one has to be flexible in adjusting to that, you know, to make changes, including cutting staff and all that sort of thing that is called for in a downturn.
And what about, you guys have anything to add on that?
As far as staying viable in the economy, or
just all the challenges that come with being who you are and doing what we do.
Well, I can definitely say that you know, Jen and I own the store, but we also work other jobs. So, you know, just to give you an idea that, you know, that's one way, you know. I mean, you can't get any more involved in your store, and then, you know, it's you have to have the love for it. So, you know, but I can understand, like, you know, we can't really, you know, cut our hours back, but we, you know, it's just like, it was rough in the beginning, you know, like 3.5 years ago was not a good time to be opening a store. And when it was just me, you know, I didn't have a day off and whatnot, but, you know, I wanted to make it work. You know, I even went and sold my own personal clothes, you know, just so that I could pay bills and stuff like that. So, you know, 2 other stores in the neighborhood. So it's like I helped them out and they helped me out. But, yeah, you know, things are better now. And you know, it's just, you just got to, you know, I've seen a lot of stores come and go in the neighborhood. And it's some as quick as a month or 2 months, which, you know, is, I think people have to be realistic if you're going to open a store. Just because the neighborhood is a destination isn't mean, you know, it's going to instantly happen for you. You know, you have to definitely, you know, I think, you know, you have to work in your store and you have to be there, and you know, and I think I've seen that to be the problem with stores coming and going, is that, you know, they'll have a staff of people or whatever, and, you know, it's like it doesn't work that way, you know. So, right. I mean, you may get there one time at one point, but, you know, you got to be realistic. So,
now, Don, when you you started doing stuff in the neighborhood and you saw Junkman's daughter, did you think, oh, that's probably going to be around for 30 years?
I don't know that that's the thought I had, but I felt that it was tuned to the community. At that point, for the first 10 years, I was involved with the Little Five Points Pub. Mm-hmm. And so that became a place where there was a lot of exchange about ideas of who was coming and who was thinking of coming and what was going well and what wasn't. And that certainly was one that I thought was tuned in to the neighborhood. And the fact that Pam right. lived in Cannon Park, I think, was one thing which ensured that it would be tuned in. I wanted to mention one thing. This is harking back just a little bit to an earlier question, but I think that one of the important parts of the success of Little Five Points has been the artistic flavor.
Right.
Pam mentioned having musicians work for her. You know, at the pub, we had actors, musicians, poets, writers, visual artists, and Little Five Points has three theater companies, plus the Variety Playhouse, which is a venue for featuring musicians mostly, including national acts. So the artistic flavor makes it more than just a commercial node. It makes it a community and relates it to the broader community, gives it a spiritual base. I use that in the more broad sense, certainly not religious, but more of a spiritual kind of tone. And I think that's been a key.
And so what do you think I sort of think has to happen as far as, you know, we talked a little about this, about being willing to be open to change. Because as the president of the Business Association, I came into this, and I've told some of you the story that I when I opened my shop, and I'm not even a retail store. We're a staffing company. We're above the street, so no one really comes in our store. But because I've been coming to Little Five since I was a kid, and I live in nearby Kirkwood, I wanted to get involved. And I saw that there was not so much going on with the Business Association because, you know, folks like yourself had sort of put in your time and the next generation sort of didn't pick up the ball. So for me, it was, okay, well, how can we get this thing going? And it wasn't that difficult. Once we sort of made the rounds, we knocked on some doors, it was sort of like people were waiting for it. Like they were just waiting to sort of someone to come around and ask them. So then my question always is, how can we get more people to Little Five? Because, you know, I know you've been around for 30 years and some other folks have been around for 15 to 20. And I say, well, listen, what can we do different or better? Some of the feedback I got was, well, you know, we've been here and you sort of like there isn't much that you can tell us, right? So I'm always thinking, how can we make whatever we've got even better? So I guess that's sort of my question is, do you think that we'll always have sort of the level of attention that we have based on people that want to shop and don't want to go to the mall? Or do you think that there is room for growth and we could be even busier and everybody could be more profitable than they already are? It's a really long question, but I eventually got there.
Well, I think any new business would have to be very tuned in to who the potential shoppers are. And the neighborhoods around us are changing. So obviously I think that new businesses have to think in terms of what the needs are. Also, of course, we have the very standard shopping center, which is less than a half mile away, the project that we used to call the Sembler Project, the Edgewood Retail District. So clearly we have to be thinking about ourselves as a contrast to that, as an alternative to that. But we do have to be tuned in to the changing demographics. And it is more affluent, probably, you know, fewer are old hippies like us. And so I think that there does have to be an awareness of the younger families that are moving in.
And what do you guys think as far as, like, onward and upward, like getting more folks to come to Little Five?
I think just keeping the name of the, you know, just presenting the neighborhood, making people aware of it. I mean, in other areas of town, especially for new people moving in, and letting them know that this neighborhood does exist. And there's really nothing else like it in the state. It's very diverse. People like to come spend the day and just hang out, and it's a very different feel. I mean, it's almost, it draws a lot of tourists now,
right,
as far as so, people looking for something different to do, and it's a different side of Atlanta.
So how do you think we get folks from, you know, Marietta or Kennesaw or Alpharetta, how do we get those folks to get in their car and spend the day at Little Five Points.
Throw a Halloween parade.
So events, you're saying events?
Like no, that's what I'm asking. We do have this, our world famous Halloween right. festival, which is actually coming up this weekend. If you're listening to this this week,
yeah.
If it's in the future, then it already happened. But it's the 15th and 16th, which is this weekend. You can go to L5PHalloween.com. It's our 10th anniversary. But what other ways do you think we can get these folks to come down or up? I suppose people live in
all over.
People live in McDonough now, I guess. Yeah. So how do you think we can do that?
I'd like to see some more events. I'd like to see us have a Mardi Gras parade, you know, and create some other
like
things
events
for people to come to.
Each season, maybe some big event? Or
maybe not
two?
Each season.
But like two a year, right?
Two?
Like a spring and a fall, maybe?
Why not? Why not?
That's a good baby step.
Obviously, the diversity of the neighborhood, the underlying thing is people do like fun and festivals and music and, you know, that and the arts. So that is, you know, a festival always seems like the perfect thing. You know, I don't see us like having sample sales or anything like that. You know, it's just it's not really our demographic. But, you know, a festival, you know, more festivals, I think, is definitely the way to go. So.
And how does the Halloween one work for people who've never been?
How does it work? Well, if you want to be at the most, I guess, eclectic, interesting, fascinating parade and festival you've ever been to, you should come to the Halloween.
So, like, when does it start? What's the What's the agenda of it?
Sure. So 5 o'clock on Friday is really just music, and I think they might have a movie this year. I'm not sure. I got to check the website. And then Saturday all day, it's your typical festival atmosphere with vendors and booths and beer for sale. And this year we actually have 3 stages of music instead of just one.
Right.
And then at 4 o'clock on Saturday is the Halloween parade, which
will be bigger this year than
I mean, the numbers we've heard are somewhere between 20,000 and 30,000. We can't quite get actual numbers on that. But I know that, you know, people, kids enjoy it, adults enjoy it. It's one of those things that once you've been, you'll go back every year.
It's a good practice for your Halloween costume. A lot of people dress up, you know, even though it's 2 weeks before Halloween. But it's kind of infectious that, you know, once you're down there, you know, you can go run into a store and, you know, throw on something, you know, if you just decide to at the last minute. But, you know, it's also, you know, it gives a lot of people inspiration for Halloween, too. I think, you know, that's the plus of it. It's, you know, it's not only just a celebration of the neighborhood, but it brings people who may not have been in the neighborhood before, and they kind of go, well, this is where I'm, you know, this is where I'm doing my Halloween shopping or, you know,
right.
Or my inspiration for Halloween. They get ideas, you know. That's a... I think that's a strong point.
How did it start? It's 10 years old. What was the impetus? Anybody know?
Don, do you know this?
You're under pressure because you're the historian. You know?
I'm trying to recall exactly how it started. I know that Halloween seemed like such a logical holiday for us to celebrate because, in fact, even in the middle of June, there are those who come to Little Five Points who think that this must be Halloween.
Right.
I mean, wearing unusual clothing and costumes is not something restricted to Halloween. So I think it seemed like the logical like the logical holiday for us to start with. And then there was a person who worked with festivals, Holly Mall, who unfortunately died just last week, who has really been the organizer of these events since their start. So this will be the first one that proceeds to the end without her being present. So she was a part of, she connected very early with the association.
Right.
And but it does seem like a logical event for Little Five Points, but Mardi Gras,
that sounds logical too.
Absolutely, right. Yeah. And there are several more that would I think fit our not just the image but the substance of
but
Little
it would
Five
stay
Points.
True to the culture of the community.
That's right.
Right. So it wouldn't just be like every other festival that every other neighborhood has. I'm just remembering now that the early stages of we're going to have an Atlanta Fringe Festival. And our vice president of the Business Association, Brian, is heading that up. We actually have a date. I don't know it off the top of my head, but we already have a date for 2011. And I think It's going to be in August, and we want to eventually, I think, move it back so that the two events are a little bit farther apart. But I think that's another perfect event because we do have all those theaters, and it's a way for the neighborhood to have a really cool event that speaks to our artistic flavor, as you put it.
So how do you guys see it, the neighborhood evolving, you know, 5 years, 10 years? Are you guys think about that, or it just happens every day is every day?
I think, maybe a new coat of paint here and there, but other than that, I don't see much need for change, you know. Repair a sign here, put some paint on another building, you know. I think the template's in place. I just think, you know, it's you're always going to have, you know, people who retire or and new people coming in. And as long as, you know, they tend to get it, then it's going to be gotten. So, you know.
Do you want to weigh in on that, Pam?
Well, I was just thinking how my business runs me now instead of me running it. So it's just a matter of, it seems like, okay, well, we start Halloween in January.
It's an all-year...
is when the Halloween shows are that we have to go buy merchandise and do orders at. So if you start ticking off, okay, I have to be at this show here, I have to be at that show here, it just keeps moving along. And I'm just stunned that 28 years has gone by. I mean, I can look at it and go, okay, I went from here to here, but now it just has a real life of its own.
I think we have to keep in mind that our theme is diversity, and diversity can be open to new concepts, new ideas, and we just broaden the diversity. That makes it more stable, more attractive, better for the future,
mm-hmm.
more staying power.
And you're still attracting that same, the demographic that's been around, I guess, since the beginning, right, is always attracted so far to Little Five.
I think that anyone who is looking for an alternative to the going to businesses where you don't know if you're in Cleveland or Indianapolis or wherever, right. it all looks the same. Somebody who wants an alternative to that, when you come to Little Five Points, you know you're in Little Five Points.
You're not in Kansas anymore.
No, you're not.
Right. I said that to almost that exact phrase to someone the other day where they had a plane to catch, but it wasn't for a few hours. And they said, well, we're going to go to Atlantic Station. And I said, well, listen, Atlantic Station is a nice place to shop, but you probably have it in your town. So why don't you go to Little Five Points, which has nothing like is in your town, and you'll actually have an interesting afternoon. And, you know, whether you buy anything or not, you'll at least have a different shopping experience. So I think that's sort of our biggest strength. And I think that's sort of what we, you know, continue to focus on, you know, to get more folks.
Yes.
Because if you've been to Atlanta, if you come to Atlanta on business several times a year, if you've done the Coke Museum and the Aquarium the last time you were here, like, it's time to do something else. And I think we're, like, the perfect thing for them to do next because we're a short cab ride away.
Right. And even if you're a family, I mean, you know, it's like, you know, you see, like, multi-generational families walking around, you know, and there is, you know, I think there's a little something for everyone, you know. It's not just, you know, a youth culture thing or, you know, whatever. It's just I that's the thing that surprised me. You know, I've actually had a grandmother, daughter, and granddaughter come in and all buy something in my store all together. So that's, you know, that's kind of a cool thing. I think, you know, it's a good walking neighborhood for families as well.
So you're saying families in the suburbs shouldn't be afraid to go down to
Nah.
They'd actually really enjoy it. I mean, it's more than a shopping experience. I mean, it's just the culture and life down there, even if you're just, you know, walking around talking to people on the street.
And then same with this Halloween event as a family.
Absolutely. I mean, my daughter who's three, has been excited about this for the last month because she knows how much fun she had last year when she was only two. So.
Right.
So can we do some quick plugs before we wrap it up? Do you guys want to plug websites or anything? If not, I can do that part.
You know, that's the beauty of this alternative lifestyle. Then
very laid back, folks.
Laid back.
So the book that Junkman's Daughter is in is called Retail Superstars.
Yes.
Available at Amazon and bookstores everywhere.
Yes.
One of 25 amazing retail stores. Mm-hmm. There's a book written recently called The Highs and Lows of Little Five, which you can pick up at some bookstores, which Don and I think is a pretty good book, but not great. That's okay. We might have to write the revisionist version. And L5PHalloween.com is our...
That's the official
Halloween website. And then just Google Little 5 Points, and you'll find a million things. You'll see a Wikipedia page. You'll see all kinds of fun stuff. And other than that, I just want to thank everybody for their time this morning. And I think we're good.
I think that wraps up another episode of Atlanta Business Radio.
I think so, too.
Great job, man.
Thanks for having us.